You wonder about I'm looking down at my phone to see if I have any Facebook or emails. I'm not checking that, but that's where I have my Bible. So I'm learning a little bit about that. I know how to turn the phone on, and I know how to turn it off, and that I get confused about some other things about it, but it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Thank you for allowing me to be here today, and we hope that the things that we have to say are pleasing to God, most of all, and that we want to make sure that the things that we say will be beneficial to us as well. I was going to say something, but I thought, nah, better not. Better not. They may. Somebody asked me to be here several years ago. I think they've passed away, so I get to start over again. So, but it's good to be here after a lot of years, Mark. Thank you for asking me. The elders, I appreciate it. And again, I hope that God will be pleased with our efforts tonight. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you so much for loving us, and we ask that you'd be with us as we study your word tonight. And we pray, Father, that as we think about our spiritual growth, is that you would help us to see what your word has to say and apply it to our lives. We thank you so much for this opportunity. We love you, and we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul told me the other day, he said, well, there's one thing that I need to do is that I need to have a bio. And I got halfway here and I realized that's one thing that I didn't do. So anyhow, I want to tell you a little bit about myself so that it'll help you with our topic tonight, with spiritual growth. Because I was born in New Martinsville, West Virginia, 61 plus years ago. And then my parents moved to Duffy, Ohio, and I lived there a couple years, and then we moved to a little place called Fly, Ohio, a little farmhouse again in Fly, and I was raised there a little bit, but I was raised with a father who worked really hard and that made sure that he provided for his family, made sure that his family went to church, but never went himself. See, when he was growing up, he grew up in the church, became a gospel preacher, wanted to be a gospel preacher, and then he decided that he would serve his country as well, and he went to the Air Force. And as he was there at the Air Force, is that my older brother and my older sister and then my older brother were born. But he had a reason that, or an excuse for what. He wanted not to go anymore to services. He wanted to stop for some reason, and he would never tell me that. My grandmother tried to explain a few things, but I was never really told the whole story. See, my father was raised by a good parent, two good parents, but my grandfather was an alcoholic, and my father was an alcoholic. My uncle was an alcoholic. Really good workers, really good people, hardworking people that were raised in the church. And then we moved from at Fly. We moved because my parents got a divorce. And that during this time, I was really having problems. I didn't like life, for one. I didn't like my parents, for another. I was a confused young man, but I tried to stay being a nice kid. I didn't get in trouble, could have, but I chose not to go that way because I didn't want that for my family when it was time for me to have a family. One thing that happened was that we lived in Sardis, Ohio. My mom lived in Sardis. A lot of you know where that's at. And that she didn't go to services any longer as well. And then I started doing a Bible study when I was in high school. And that, but through that time, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. What I did was I went to church by myself. See, I had some folks from church that came after me. We lived about 5 miles out of church, or out from the church building, and then we moved a little bit closer after my parents got divorced, and I just went by myself then. But what happened was is that these people would come after me Sunday after Sunday, month after month, week after week, year after year. They taught me about growing spiritually. They taught me how to be a Christian man, even though I wasn't a Christian. I guess I pushed pause, and now I'm going to go ahead a little bit. I'm in high school, and decided that I wanted to go to a Bible study in the evenings. So I went to the study, and we're talking about baptism. And this is not just a Bible study. It's a Bible study of a bunch of young people that is from every type of life that you can imagine. Even in Hannibal and Sardis, Ohio, and Fly, there is all sorts of personalities. And we were there together. And we were talking about baptism, and there was a young man that told me there, he says, "You know, Bobby," he says, "you need to be baptized for remission of your sins. It only takes a step." Later, I found out that he was never baptized himself. And that that evening, it was about 12 o'clock when I got into Sardis, and I knocked on the minister's door, and I told him, I said, "Bill, I think it's time." And he said, "What? You're going to get married? You're awful young to get married." I said, "No, well, sort of, but it's not like that. I want to be baptized for remission of my sins. I want to live for Jesus." Well, he was pretty excited, and we went over to the building, and he just happened to be up and took me over, and I went home afterwards. And my mother was up, and she's hardly ever up when I come home at night. But she was this time, and it was probably closer to 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was up. And she looked at me, and she says, "Bobby, you've done something." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she looked at me, and she said, "You're baptized, weren't you?" I said, yes, ma'am, I sure was. Says, I said, "How did you know?" And she said, "I could see it in your eyes. I could see Jesus in your eyes." Now, this is a 16, 17-year-old boy that his mama says is, "I can see Jesus in your eyes." Thinking is that knowing that I experienced something that other people have not experienced. I told you a little bit about growing up, but I also witnessed my father trying to murder my mother. I experienced that. Now we're getting to spiritual growth. Not very many people can say that. This is not just it's not a personal testimony. It's just what I'm trying to tell you is about spiritual growth. Is that all of us have come through something in our lives. And what I've learned from that is that I can grow and I can help other people grow. My goals in life, and we'll talk about them here in a moment, because I promised Brother Stan is that I told a story, but I'm also going to use scripture. So I want to make sure I do that. Well, what happened was is that I lived that life, and then I went to Kent State University and dropped out of college. Then I really had to start working and said, "Nah, I think I want to go back to school. This labor stuff is too tough for me. I want to be a teacher, and I want to be a coach. I want to make sure that I get a college education. I want to make sure that I meet a Christian young lady. And I want to make sure that I have a Christian family. And lastly, I want to be the president of the PTL. Or the PTA or PTO or whatever they call it. but the parent organization of school. I wanted to be the president. I got to reach all those goals except that one, and my wife was the vice president of the PTL, and that's the closest I ever got. But I wanted to reach those goals. I wanted to do those things. So then what happened, Brother Scott, is that my mom said, you know, Bobby, is that I know of a little college in Parkersburg. Why don't you go see about that? So in 1978, that's what I did. I went down to Parkersburg. My minister at the Duffy Church, or my mom's minister, well, I forgot to tell you, is that during that time, is that my mom rededicated her life to Jesus. And so did my stepfather after that. And then my brother. And then my sister. Then my brother-in-law. Then my sister-in-law. Spiritual growth. Is that God allows things to happen to us? Why? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know about this pandemic thing. I really don't know. When it talks about spiritual growth and church growth, I don't know why. I don't have all the answers. I don't have any answers except what applies and what the Word tells me. But God allows those things to happen in our lives so that He can be glorified by them. And that's exactly what spiritual growth is praising God for the things that He has done in our lives. And that we can teach somebody else, and somebody else can teach somebody else. Somebody else can teach somebody else, and it goes on and on and on. So after I finished at Ohio Valley College, I went to Oklahoma Christian University and finished there my 2 years, and got to meet some other folks and got to worship with folks that of different color that I would never experience if I stayed in Fly or Sardis, Ohio. And it was a great opportunity for me there to learn and to grow. But I wanted to come back home. And I was a teacher at Frontier Local School District for a few years. And then my goal was is that I always wanted to come back to Ohio Valley College to teach and to coach and to share the good news with young folks that some other folks shared with me when I was there. And I wanted to do that the same. And on the 10th year of myself, I was teaching, and I was also an elementary school teacher or principal. And that they asked me if I wanted a challenge to come back to Ohio Valley College and be the head baseball coach there. They hadn't won a game in 3 years, and only won in five, and we did it, and we've been pretty successful there of doing things. But the main thing was, Rod, we baptized over 30 young men there, and they've baptized others, and they've baptized others. Spiritual growth. It all starts with one step. As I started the preaching, I went back to Duffy Church of Christ, and I got to speak. And that's where my mother and my sister attends, and my brother-in-law. And I looked here to the right in this little congregation, and I saw the fellow that told me when we were teenagers, Bobby, it only takes a step. And he took that step as well. Now his son, is that he's talking to people about Jesus. And they're talking about people about Jesus. And they're talking spiritual growth that starts. There are so many things to talk about. There's so many things that I would really like to say. But the things go on and on and on. Also, I want to tell you is that Mark Stan told me that I had an hour and a half. So I just want to let you know there. So if you want to leave, I was just at this one place, and I said, how much time do I have? And this one brother says, well, I don't know about you, but 11:25, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I said, yes, sir, I understand that. So how much time do I do have, Paul?
About 7:55.
Okay, well, I've got plenty of time. I'm just getting started. 45% of our teenagers are leaving the church. Almost one out of every two people will drop out of an active church participation. One out of every two. During some time of their life. 8 out of 10 people will drop out in the first year of their conversion. There is no other word, no other word that is more important than the word lost. The word lost. The lost child causes, people to go crazy. My wife would not let me take my children alone to the store because she was afraid that I was going to pay attention, Paul. And they just go, she is afraid that I was going to lose them. I'm not going to lose them. Well, we get frantic when people are lost, especially our children, our grandchildren now. We're frantic. They're in the house, and we're in one room, and we've taken our eye off a little bit, and then all of a sudden our eyes go back, and they're not there. And we're yelling, Brant, where are you at? And you feel this, he's right behind. No word. But the Apostle Paul had a passion of the lost. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read that, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'd like to read verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to read verses 14 and 15 after that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Therefore, also we have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Christ, and that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those that take pride in the appearance, but not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. Verse 14, and the love of Christ controls us or compels us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And we'll read a few more scriptures here in just a moment. But Paul gives us an example here about how he was driven for spiritual growth for other folks, because he didn't want to die without knowing Jesus. He recognized that he was accountable to Christ for his service and desired to give a good account at the judgment. How are we? Are we ready to give an account for what we've done? I think that's a valid question to ask. Are we willing to say, you know, I'm responsible for myself, but I'm responsible a little bit for sharing the good news with other folks. But how can I share the good news with Jesus if I don't know him myself? Spiritual growth. As we read in verses 14 and 15, he was driven by Christ's love. The Christ love compelled him to tell others about Jesus. What controls, I guess another word that I read was controls us. What controls you? And I hope it's the love of Jesus that controls you to tell other folks about Jesus and that controls your life. Finally, Paul says that he understood that people were lost and that needed a Savior. Verses 17 through 21 in that same chapter. We also need to realize that we're God's ambassadors for Christ and that he is making his appeal through us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he basically says is that we're here, or he was there, to stir somebody up. So tonight, I'm alive. I'm alive, and I'm here to stir you up The writer in Hebrews says us that we're supposed to gather together, what, to provoke one another to love and to do good deeds. I'm not here to make you mad. I'm here to provoke you, Doug, to love and to do good deeds to you, your family, your children, and the folks here at Camden Avenue and your neighbors. Spiritual growth. Church growth. In Luke, the 14th chapter, if you turn there, please, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and we'll read verses, if the Lord's willing, verse 34 through 38. Luke chapter 14. We'll start with, I'd like to start with verse 25, if I may. Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and he said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and his wife and children and the brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? And otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it may be able to ridicule him, as saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sat out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of a peace. So therefore, that no one can be my disciple who does not give up all that he owns, that he possesses. Therefore, salt is good, but if the salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It's useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear." So I'm asking you here and telling you that salt represents those who are committed to Jesus. Have you lost your saltiness? When it comes to church growth, spiritual growth, have we lost our saltiness? We can go to scriptures and see is that Jesus wants us to be salts. And we'll read that in Matthew chapter 7 here in a moment. Is that he wants us to be salts, and he wants us to be lights, and he also tells us that he wants us to be more righteous than the Pharisees. He tells us that he wants us to live the righteous life, do the right things in life, be like me. Why do we struggle so much with spiritual growth? Why do we struggle? Well, I believe the scripture tells us in John chapter 6, and we won't read 47 through 66, but he tells us a whole story there why people struggle. And as a result, as they struggle, especially verses 59 through 68, or 66, pardon me, as a result of that, we see a challenge. Many disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They were disciples, but they left them. They left them. We will leave if we don't grow. We will die if we don't grow. We have to grow. That's what God wants us to do. Why do people struggle? Well, people struggle because they find the teachings, and you can see this through scripture over and over and over, they find the teachings too hard. They're just too difficult. You and I are like this sometimes. I don't quite understand it, but it's the truth. The scripture tells us that we need to turn the other cheek. That's tough. That's tough. I've been slapped so many times, man, my sometimes I get tired of it. Turn the other cheek. It's too hard. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You have to. Love your enemies. No way. Can you imagine those folks when Jesus told them that they needed to turn the other cheek and that they needed to love their enemies? They're saying, you must be crazy. How can we do that? There's no way. But we have to. Suffer a little bit if we live godly lives. No way. Why would we want to suffer? I hate pain. I'm a sis when it comes to pain. I don't like it. And here, you know, and I've been living with it with my hip for several years now. And if Lord's willing, here in about 3 weeks plus, I'll be able to get a new replaced hip. And I know that I'm going to have some pain with that. And I can't wait to have the hip, but I can't stand the thought of being in pain more than what I am. Suffer a little bit if we have lived godly lives. No way. How can we do that? We don't want to do that. We need to. And the scripture tells us that the cost of following Jesus is just too difficult, so people drop out. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. Our preacher at New Matamoros years ago was Gene Carroll. And Gene was just a very humble servant. And he used to say, Bobby, it's not easy. It's not easy being a preacher. It's not easy being a Christian. It's just not easy. It's not easy turning the other cheek. It's not easy loving your enemies. It's not easy to suffer. It's not easy following the cost. It's not easy. But we can do it. Yes, you can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. When I started teaching and coaching, I cut my story off because I looked at the time. So anyhow, I started teaching, and I made these young men, because they hadn't won a football game for a while, and I was teaching and coaching junior high football and then basketball, and I had them wear around their necks, yes, I can. I'm a winner. And they had to wear them. They came to school, and they had to put those on. I'm a winner. And yes, I can. And then we actually put it up on the board. And I wanted them to think that and see that every day, that they are a winner. And yes, they could do it. And in my office at home, I have a little plaque that my baseball team gave me back in 1996. A sign that says, the plaque says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do it. We can do things. Life is filled with fears. It's filled with fears. All sorts of fears. Hydrophobia, water. I know it's not called snakeophobia, but there's snakeophobias. There's just phobias out there. But I'll get right to the point. We have a problem with spiritual phobia. We're afraid of heights. We're afraid of heights. I guess that's acrophobia, maybe. I'm not sure. But we have a fear of heights. Fear of heights going spiritually. Now, I want to tell you a quick story, is that when I was in college, is my dad asked me to paint a house, and I had to get up on the ladder, and it wasn't that high, but I still had to paint. And I asked a guy to help me because he was a little tougher than I was, but little did I know that he was more scared than I was. He had more fear about getting up on that ladder. And we got up on that ladder, and there's just a wee little bit, and we got up on the top rung, and there we are. Oh, we're stretching. And I'm, of course, my hand is all wet with paint because I'm grabbing a whole wet paint and trying to reach up because I'm afraid. And if I had only went up on the porch and just reach down a little bit, it's right there. I made it so difficult because I thought I was scared. We do that the same way spiritually. How ambitious are we really when it comes to wanting to be more spiritual? How ambitious are we? Has a Christian, being a Christian, really changed you? Or are you the same as when you were baptized into Christ 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or only 17 days ago? Are you still the same? The scripture tells us, and God wants us to grow. If we want to grow higher, we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to, first of all, we have to desire. We have to desire to want to go higher. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to desire it. You have to want to do it. I want to do it. And if you go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, you will see is that Paul said that he wanted to gain Christ. He wanted to do a lot of things. He wanted to be like Christ. But the last thing was, is that he mentioned, was is that I want to reach the goal of the prize of the high calling of Jesus. Secondly, not only desire, but we need to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined people. Disciple, discipline, the same root word. We have to be that way. We have to be disciplined. We have to seek those things that are above. Seek, but set our minds on things that are good and honest and pure. We've got to discipline ourselves. If we want to be mature into Christ, if we want to grow in Christ, we have to desire to be that way, and then we have to be disciplined. And as I mentioned, think on things that are honest and good and pure. Think on positive things. We hear so many negative things all the time about the church, about the world, everything. You know, it's like the hee-haws. Most of us remember the old hee-haw. Blow me, spare an agony on me. Oh, that's how we are when it comes to our spiritual lives. We're in agony. We got to get out of that. We got to be positive about things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as you go into my office at home and my office really at school as well, is that you'll see all over the place. This is the best day ever. It has to be. I don't care how much pandemic is out there. I don't care how much that I experienced when I was younger and experienced what I'm going through today, because we're going to talk about something else here in just a moment. This is the best day ever. This is the Lord's day. I know it's not Sunday. I know that. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad of it. This is the day that we have. And we need to desire, and we need to discipline ourselves, knowing is that I need to grow and I want to grow. I want to be like Jesus. And thirdly is that we need to distance ourselves and put off the old man, as the scripture tells us. We need to put off those things. Distance ourselves from past failures. Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things which are behind, and we have to get those spiritual weights off of our back. We got to get them off our back. We just walk and we're just loaded down spiritually. We've got to get them off. Knowing is this is the best day ever. I failed to bring my little sign. There's somebody that I also speak at Buchanan, West Virginia, every third Sunday morning. I take that two-hour drive plus, 4 hours on the road plus, teaching and preaching. And this little girl gave me a sign. It says, the best day ever. And it is. Knowing is that we're distancing ourselves from our past failures. Is that we're forgetting those things that are behind. Now, we're not going to turn into a pillar of salt if we look behind. We can learn. We have to introspect, but we need to prospect, which is the future. But we need to look back every once in a while, and we can learn. We can learn from it. We can learn also from our failures. And failures cannot terrorize us, but teach us a lot of things. Well, I can't go out and I can't tell people about Jesus. Yes, you can. just show them your life, and you're going to show them. You're going to teach them a whole lot. I'm almost finished. Just a few more things. Matthew chapter 7. If you turn there, please. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version that this time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 and 14, or through 14. So whatever you wish that others would do unto you, also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by any means, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So Doug, can you tell us what the golden rule is? Yes. Now, I ask you that because I know that most of us, if I ask you, you can say it. You can say it. But do you do it? I'm talking about practicing those things and having church or having spiritual growth. When I decided that my wife and my children's happiness is more important than mine, I learned what the golden rule was about. When I realized is that my wife loves pillows. She just loves pillows. We've got pillows everywhere. We just got a new couch, and I said, we've got plenty of pillows. Oh, no, we got to have more pillows. And then not only do we have more pillows, we got to make sure that I don't sit on the pillows. And I have to pick up the pillows and put them off to the side if I'm going to be able to sit where those pillows are. And then I have to pick them up, but my wife loves those pillows. My daughter loves those pillows. My son, he loves, I call them bobbleheads, but I don't know if they're bobbleheads or not. And I know I call them dolls, but they're not really dolls. They're just, I don't know what they are, but he loves them. And I don't understand why you would love pillows so much and why you would love those dolls or those bobbleheads, but they do. And once I figured out that I needed to love them and respect them just as much, because they meant so much to them, I learned about the golden rule. When I listened to my daughter's likes and her dislikes, I learned about the golden rule. When I learned to be a servant instead of be served, I learned about the golden rule. My son, bless his heart, is that we have a TV here, and I'm talking when he was 4 or 5 years old, and probably 8 or 9, 10, maybe even 13. I'm not sure, but I'd say, Drew, we call it the beeper. It's the remote. I said, Drew, would you get the beeper for me? Now, all I have to do is get off my chair, take one step, maybe two, and pick up the remote, and then just flip it. But I asked my son to get it, and he's over there, and he brings it to me, not saying a word. That's servant. He had already learned. He was teaching his dad about what being a servant was. Didn't say a word. He taught me the golden rule. He taught me about church or Christian growth. That I needed to do those things. I needed to be like that. I practice the golden rule, and my spiritual life grows, and others will not be lost, because that word lost, I don't want to be lost. I don't want my wife, my son, I don't want anybody that I'm associated with. I don't want anybody to be lost. I can tell you when I was 12, my dad was still at home. As I said, he was very stern, and that I wanted to go to Wheeling Island to the circus with my little league team. And he says, you can go, but you have to stay with Mr. Romick the whole time. I said, yes, sir, I'll go. I'll be with him all the time. Well, and I was, except when it was time to leave. Boy, I know where the car's at. I'm going right there. And I took off. There's no car. There's no Mr. Romick. There's nobody that I know except that there is a policeman out in the middle of the road. And I'm thinking, officer? Oh, come out here, boy. So I went out. And I told him, I said, I can't find my car. Well, what's your phone number? We need to call your father. I said, oh, no. No, my dad cannot know about this. Long story short, I looked over to the left and I saw the men that I came with, Mr. Romick and I remember Mr. Jones. They came after me. I learned several things during that time, not just listening to my father, but I also learned a spiritual lesson, that spiritual growth that we all have to do. There's sometimes that we are lost, sometimes that we have misdirection, but we know who to go to. And we know is that other people are going to share and they're going to come after us and take us to the right place. I hope and pray is that if tonight that you're lost, that you'll find your way. I hope that you'll find your way. And I hope is that somebody will point the way to you and say, Jesus is the answer. Come follow me. Come learn from me. And you won't be lost. The point is this. You realize that you're lost. You want to go to the right person. Other folks are looking for you. Why? Because they love you. See, Jesus loved you. And he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 also is that if we love him, we will do the same for others. Is that we'll love others too. We'll give our lives for a brother. I asked myself a question several times today, and really throughout my life, is that what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And I'm reminded of God's word that Jesus says that his matchless love, he gave everything for us, or for me and for you. He paid an awful price that love commanded. So my passion was very clear why I'm here tonight, why you're here. And I want you to go to heaven. Is that your passion? If it is, you need to grow. If you're lost, if you've put yourself at another spot, and that's a possibility. There's one time is that somebody asked me to come and talk to him about commitment. So I went to my file and I looked at commitment, and there's nothing there. I said, I know that I have a lesson on commitment. I know that. I did that. And I looked in the file in front of it. No, it's not there. But I looked in the file behind it, and sure enough, I misplaced it. That's what we do in our lives sometimes. We misplace our commitment to Jesus. And if that is you, then you need to make a change so that you can grow. We know is that we have to repent of our sins, but we need to confess Jesus. We need to be baptized for remission of our sins. We need to do that. Are you living a faithful life? Are you living the way that will get you to heaven and get others there too? God has given us an example today. He's given us an example of a beautiful day, his day. Brother Mark, it's the best day ever. The best day ever. As I mentioned, if you're lost, he'll take care of you. Please find your way before it's too late. We have a song of encouragement to encourage us to want to come to him. If there's any needs at all, please come as together we stand and sing.
victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power, the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you so much, Bob, for that message about spiritual growth. We can do it. Sometimes we have to convince ourselves first, but we can do it. God says we can, so we know that we can. Again, appreciate everybody coming out tonight. I know we've got several visitors. The Muncies are here, and the Kirbys are over here, and there's probably a few more somewhere, and we are certainly glad that you've come our way. The church will meet again Sunday morning at 9:30 for worship. Hope everyone has a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. Let's end our service with a prayer, please. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day that you have given us that comes from you. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for your gospel. Help us to dig into it and help us to ask ourselves questions when we read, how can we apply this, or convincing ourselves to be more Christ-like. Help us always to look introspectively in order that we will grow spiritually. We thank you so much for your promises. We thank you so much for heaven that you have promised, and help us keep our eye on that goal no matter what age we are. Help us to live for you each day. Help us to carry on in your cause, and help us to make a difference. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ and his willingness to die in our stead for our sins. Please forgive us of those sins. In Christ's name we do pray tonight. Amen.